Well, God bless you. It's wonderful to see you here. And I'm sure thankful to be here and thankful to share the greatness of God's Word with each and every one of you. It's kind of ironic. I was thinking about sharing God's Word for the past week or so with yous. And even to this morning when Nick was talking, I forget what he said. About on my way to heaven, I shall not be moved. And I started thinking, I woke up this morning. I wake up like kind of thinking of a song. And usually it's some kind of a biblical song. But this morning, when I was praying, a song popped in my head. And I don't know who sings it, but it says, itemize the things you covet as you squander through your life. Bigger cars, bigger houses. Term insurance for your life. And I started thinking about that. What's really important in my life? I know what's really important in my life. And trust me when I tell you it ain't a bigger car or a bigger house. Excitement for me and blessing for me was listening to Brent sing "The Wide as the Ocean." I was listening to him and it started making me cry. I was like so blessed. It was like a biblical experience, man. It was like really cool. So anyway, think about that, what Nick said this morning about the things that are important in your life as you motor through life going to heaven, because going to heaven is what it's really about. And the devil wants nothing more than to confuse you, distract you, and make your life a living hell. That's what makes him happy. And one of the ways he does that is the title of my teaching for today, Fake News. That would be absolutely correct. So if you know anything about politics or watch the news, the big thing now is fake news, where they tell a story and it's really not true or it's part true. And I thought how there's no new thing under the sun, and how in Power for Abundant Living, Dr. Werwolf shared the secret of the devil's success is the secrecy of his moves. It's no more than fake news. That's all it is. They change it. They spin doctor it. They put the spin on it. They make it something else. They call it something else. And everybody latches onto it and makes a big deal out of it. But at the end of the day, it's no more than fake news. If you take your Bibles and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 8, and we're going to look at some things about fake news. So the first thing I do when I, well, not the very first thing, but I'm big on words, not always necessarily Greek or Hebrew, but just on words and what they mean. One of my favorite things is like the Urban Dictionary. You can look that up, and what it's like is slang things or the meanings of some words, like what it means today, like booty. You know, back in the times of the pirates, booty meant, you know what that meant? Sure, treasures. Yeah, arr, mateys. Okay, now today booty means boop, boop, the butt. So there you go. It's changed over the years. Same word, different meaning. Amazing, God's word never changes, but okay. So anyway, the point is, I like going to the dictionary and see what words were. So I looked up fake, and fake means to prepare or make something suspicious, deceptive, or fraudulent. And man, when you're thinking of the adversary, what is his thing in life? Right. Okay. To conceal, this is awesome, to conceal the defects or make appear more attractive, interesting, valuable, etc., usually in order to deceive. And that's what his mission is in life, to deceive, to get you off course. When you're going to heaven, you're on your way to heaven, and you don't want to be moved, he's trying to take your head. And also, I don't know if it was in Power for Abundant Living, but they talked about how you get the horse, and when you put the reins on a horse, the bit goes in its mouth, so that when you pull on the lead, if you pull to the left, the head turns this way. You pull to the right, head turns this way. Fake news or the devil puts that bit in your mouth and he's holding on to the reins and he's trying to pull you to the left and pull you to the right. You need to spit that bit out. Yeah, don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by the five senses. We're going to see that in a little bit. Okay, and number three, to pretend or to simulate, as in a video game. And I added, or a hologram. When you think about it, today they have so many things that you could see via the electronics age. You know, and a hologram is a projected image up in an area that's meant to be real. They have now 3D printing, if you've ever seen that. If you haven't, you ought to go on. It's like pretty cool, 3D printing. But it's all just a fake. It's just a farce. It's just a mirage. And what is news? A report of a recent event, intelligence, or information. The presentation of a report on recent or new events in a newspaper or other periodical, radio, or television. And I added, or the Bible. Because you get good news from where? The Bible. A true and faithful saying. Okay. Such reports taken collectively, information reported. And I wrote, when it comes to fake news, it is a lie made up by the father of all lies, the devil. And if you go to the Gospel of John, which we're already there, chapter 8, verse 44. Please, and it says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your fathers ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. He's nothing but a big pack of lies. He's nothing but giant fake news. That's all he is. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Now, why does he want to propound fake news? You know why? I'm going to tell you why. To cause a mirage, to cause confusion, to cause doubt, to cause worry, to cause fear. Now, I'm not much on the political tip. And I'm being honest. I knew enough to who to vote for and took care of business as best I could. But I will tell you that the little bit, Dolores listens to that Fox News now and again. And I will tell you that I find it very disheartening at the people's reaction to the president of the United States. I've never heard anybody talk about a president the way people talk. And the upriot, the rioting, the just total lack of respect for the office. It's sad, man. But you know where that comes from? The devil. Now, we laugh and say, well, it's millennials and it's this and it's that. I don't care what you call them. What it is a lack of respect. And if they can't respect the President of the United States, how do they respect the Word of God? They don't. We need to take that word and get that word out. Because these people have true confusion. And that's the devil's ministry, to cause confusion, doubt, worry, fear, to ruin your life. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. He wants your life to be a train wreck. That's what he wants. You got to make sure it doesn't happen. And by doing that, you spit that bit out of your mouth, and you go straight. You go straight to God. And we're going to see that in a little bit, too. I wrote down a quote. I'm kind of on the Billy Graham tip of late. I've been reading some of his things, not a whole bunch, but a little bit. And I'm big on quotations. And he quoted this quote. It says, historians will probably call our era the age of anxiety. Anxiety is the natural result when our hopes are centered in anything short of God and his will for us. That's what Billy Graham's had to say about our generation. You know, we're anxious. We have to have everything. We have to have everything right here and now. And we don't get it, we seek the next big thing. Man, the next big thing is God Almighty. Don't be deceived by the devil. Every day our senses are bombarded with something that we should be looking out for. You wake up in the morning, you turn on the radio. It's interesting, Nick and I don't know, we were in his office one day talking, and he went to look something up, and he says, you know, I really don't like this. He clicked on something, whatever he goes on to, like AOL or something, and all these messages pop up. You know, oh, you got to do this, and you got to do that, and you got to do the other thing, and look here, and look there, and look there. And Nick goes, I wish that I didn't have to see that all the time. Every time I just logged on. And the fact is, That's what they do. And that's how the devil propounds that truth, by constantly bombarding, by bombarding, by bombarding. I watched a movie like 100, well, it wasn't 100 years ago, but it was a long time ago. It was called The Clockwork Orange. And what they did was they put this guy in this room and they poked his eyeballs open and they kept flashing all these bad things, like of war and killing and all this stuff, so that he wouldn't do bad things. That was how they were proposing to, you know, heal him or make him better or in his right mind or whatever you want to call it. The fact is, that's what they were doing, and that's what the devil does to you every single day. Radio, constant bombarding, constant flashing in the face. So I picked up a couple of headlines today when I got up, and I looked at some of the things, and here's what you deal with every day. Let's look at some of these headlines. It says, the Earth faces biological annihilation as scientists warn of a sixth mass extinction. I didn't go far to do this. This was like the top stories. U.S. military plane crashes in Mississippi, 16 dead. Studies suggest there's a really good chance you have HPV. So I said, dude, what is HPV? It's an STD, a sexually transmitted disease. And praise God, I'm not the only one that didn't know that, because I'm thinking like, dude, what is HPV? I looked that up. But so that's what that is, an STD. All right. Unexplained pain. Could those aches and fatigue be an autoimmune disease? FBI investigating explosion outside Air Force recruiting center near Tulsa, Oklahoma, as a domestic terror. So that was just like some of them. And there was 100 more. I'm sure you saw many, many, many more. There's all about the president, about Congress, guys getting fired, guys getting hired, the unemployment rate. And that these are only the headlines, not to mention the anxieties that we have to live with every single day of our lives. Do I have enough money? Is my car going to start? You know, man, am I good looking enough? I'm ugly. I'm fat. I'm skinny. Whatever you think your problems are that the devil pounds in your head every single day of your life. And what about for some folks like John? Are the Eagles going to go to the Super Bowl? I mean, that's tough, man. You got to think about that. Now, John, I'm sure, doesn't lay in bed at night thinking, I hope the Eagles go to the Super Bowl. But I bet you that's on his mind. It's on my mind. And I'm not even an Eagles fan. So they're only the headlines. And what do? They're meant to just cause doubt, worry, and fear. That's all they're there for, to cause doubt, worry, and fear. So the first thing you have to do is focus on where fear comes from. And fear does not come from God Almighty. Take a look at John 10:10. I already said this. You know what? Go to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, please. The way you get around this is knowledge. Knowledge is power. The more knowledge you have, the more power you have. And the more you exercise that power, the better off you're going to be. 2 Timothy 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. Yes, sir. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. God does not give it. God does not give us fear. The adversary does. He wants us to be afraid. What do you think ISIS is all about? Fear. That's all it is. It's just a big scary monster. Getting people to think, you know, oh man, you can't even go. I'll never forget one year we went up when the terrorism thing after 9/11, we did a motorcycle ride to Washington, D.C. for a Gold Star Mother's Weekend. And you go to the Vietnam Wall and you go to Korea exhibit. All that area has memorials to the fallen soldiers for all the Vietnam War, the Korean War, the First World War, the Second World War, and all that. And I got to tell you, we went up, I rode up there on my motorcycle with about 100 people, and there was like thousands there. And I can't tell you how many people backed out because of 9/11, because they were afraid that somebody was going to blow up the Vietnam Memorial and all that other stuff, because it was just nothing but fear. That's what they thought. You know what, dude, we can't even go out. We can't go, and now they blow up concerts. We can't even go to a concert. Can't even go and listen to your favorite person sing. That's what the devil wants. He wants you to be so unhappy He just wants your life to be miserable, like I said. And what you focus on, whether real or fake, will determine your emotional state in life. Focusing on God and the reality of His Word is what will cause you to live doubt, worry, confusion, and fear-free. I'm going to read that again. I wrote that down because it came to me. I kid you not. What you focus on, whether real or fake, will determine your emotional state in life. What you're looking at, what you concentrate on, is going to make you who you are. Now, not internally, because you have God and Christ in you and nothing can change that. But how you react, how you think. How do you think these people that John meets at 80 and 90 years old are doing what they're doing? Because they're not focusing on the end. They're focusing on the now. And that's what we need to do, is focus on the now of God and His Word. Focusing on God and the reality of His Word is what will cause you to be doubt, worry, and confusion free. So, I took to the Bible, and I decided that we would take a look at a few examples of fake news versus the reality of God and His Word. Okay, so turn to Numbers chapter 22, please. And this is the story of Balaam. If the story of Balaam was written today, this is what the headline would read. Lifelong pet unexpectedly turns on owner. Right? If you know the story of Balaam and his ass, what happened? Yeah. So that's what the headline would read. That's how they'd spin it. And you wouldn't go there to see what really happened. You'd just be like, oh my God, I can't believe Balaam's ass attacked him. Stop. I'm about fake news. All right, verse 22. And you know what? This is like one of my favorite records in the Word of God. I just love it, the smithereens. Because the thought of me talking to my dog and my dog answering back, like, God never says, you know, like, and Balaam's ass, blah, 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 blah. God doesn't say, doesn't that just get you how the donkey started talking to the guy? No, God never says that. But you got to think that. And sometimes I think that's how God works with me. Like, He just knows the kind of things that amuse me. Verse 22, and God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him, and that's Balaam. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. So here's Balaam. He's on his donkey, and he's riding along with a couple of guys, and they're going somewhere. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyard, a wall being on this side, and a wall being on that side. Verse 25, and when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall, and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. And he smote her again. So, you know what? I didn't read 23, did I? Okay. I'm going to read 23. We'll read that again. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way, and went into the field, and Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. So here they are, they're driving along, the donkey goes off course, Balaam gives her the swat to get her back on course. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall being on that side. Verse 25, and when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. So here's Balaam. He's riding along. The donkey goes off course. What's he thinking? What's with this donkey? That's what he's got to be thinking. Why is this donkey going over here? Yo, wake up and smell a coffee. He whacks her. Get back on path. She starts moving a little further. Now the path that they're on narrows, so it's getting tight. I was thinking, when I was reading this, I was thinking about the 300, with the Spartans, how they forced them into the pass, you know, and the pass narrowed way down tight. And that's how this was getting. It was getting tight where they were going. And there was really no other way to go. They're just motoring along. And so the donkey bangs into the wall and crushes Balin's foot. And he goes, yo, you dumb bunny. Bang, and smacks her again. You need to wake up and smell a coffee, dude. We're moving forward, not smashing. Well, verse 26, and the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn, neither to the right hand or the left hand. So now they're in it. They're in the pass. There's nowhere more to go. Verse 27, and when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. So he beats it again. The donkey's like, dude, there's nowhere to go. I can't turn around and go back. I can't smash it against this side. I can't smash it against that side. I'm not going forward. What am I to do? I'm just laying down. That's it. I don't care what he does to me. Verse 28, and the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? And I thought it was pretty cool that ass's or the donkey's perspective, because she saw the truth. All Balaam was looking at was fake news. He wasn't seeing the reality of what was going on. And how many times it's out that way in our lives. The devil puts a spin on something and he makes us look at something that really isn't there or that's really not the truth. Whatever it is. You can't afford this. You can't do this. You can't do that. And at the end of the day, the things to me that hurt the most, those most personal attacks. You know? That's just how it is. You're too fat, you're too skinny, you're not good looking enough, maybe you don't have any hair. Whatever it is, man, that's how he attacks you each and every day of your life. And don't think he's not about shotgun effect and throwing a million things at you each and every day to try and get you down. Don't let him get you down. Don't let him get you knocked off course on your way to heaven. Okay, and Balaam said unto the ass, oh wait, yeah. Why'd you smite me these three times? Verse 29, and Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand. For now I would kill thee. How about that? So he says, you know what? If I had a sword right now, I'd hack your head off, you stinking dummy. Verse 30, and the ass said unto Balaam, and not thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do unto thee? And Balaam says, no. So the donkey says, dude, what did I ever do to you? Haven't I been a true and faithful servant? How about us? We should be true and faithful servants each and every day of our lives. Because the true rewarder is God. And God will reward us. Verse 31, then the angel of the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam. And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. So, there you have it. That's the reality. That's not the fake news. That's the real news. God opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the real news. The news that if he'd have proceeded further, he would have been killed. That donkey wasn't attacking him. Wasn't making his life miserable. Think about it. How many times do you force your way into something each and every day of your life instead of just letting go and letting God? It was interesting, another thing Nick said earlier about casting all your cares upon him because he careth for you. I'm finishing up my article for the chapter and verse, and in there I wrote that. What a novel concept, giving all your cares to God. And just letting him have it. And letting him worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to make your life a better life. You don't have to make your place a better place. All you got to do is be blessed. And move on. Let go and let God. Let's look at another record. 2 Kings chapter 6, please. 2 Kings chapter 6. This is another one of my most favorite records in the Word. There's so many great records in the Word of God. It's just like unbelievable. So if this was a headline today, this would read, WikiLeaks seem to save Israel, but is certain death imminent? We'll see. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. And this is a great, great word. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall my camp be. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass in such a place, for neither the Syrians are come down. So the man of God tells him, don't go there because the Syrians are going to come there and kill you, because they were at war with the Syrians. Verse 10. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned of him, and saved himself there, not once nor twice. So not even one or two times, but maybe multiple times. And we don't even know how many times. Could have been three, four, or five times. They got saved. So see, thus the headlines. The leaks, you're going to read, we'll read the next verse. Therefore, verse 11, the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? So that's what they think. Like, it's WikiLeaks. Somebody's leaking over here. Somebody's leaking out that we're going to go kill these guys. Come on. Who is it? It wasn't. It was the man of God. It was God letting them know. How many times does God talk to you each and every day of your life? How many times do you pay attention? Whew! You need to pay attention. Because God loves you and he's talking to you and he wants the best for you. And one of his servants in verse 12 says, none, my lord, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. Like when you're laying down at night next to old mom and you're whispering those little bed secrets in her ear, God's hearing you and he's telling Elijah, and Elijah's sending over. So how about that? What do you think about that? It's pretty cool. Verse 13, and he said, well, go and spy where he is. Elijah, well, let's go find out where he's at, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. In verse 14, therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. They came by night and compassed the city about. So he sends his whole army down there, his massive troops. They all go down there. Verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? So the servant gets up in the morning and he goes out to take care of business maybe. And he's out there, he's looking around like, whoa, he sees all the horses. He sees the army totally encompassing the city. But when we read a little bit further, you'll find out that may have been so, but it was really just fake news. It's all it was, because God had the situation covered. And he answered in verse 16, fear not, don't be upset, don't worry. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And that's how we need to live our lives each and every day of our life. Without doubt, worry, fear, or confusion, you're doing the right thing. Because if you know the word, guess what? You put that word on and do that word, you're doing the right thing and you don't have nothing to worry about. There's always going to be more with you than is with them. Verse 17, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. God took care of that situation. There was no fake news. It was nothing but real news. And the real news was those guys ended up with blindness and Elisha and everybody else was saved. And that's what God's will for your life is each and every day. That you get saved, that you get blessed, that you don't have to worry about anything. That you don't have to be confused. Because it's no more than a trick of the devil. That's all fear is. It's a mirage. That's all doubt is, worry is, confusion is. You know why we get confused? Because we take our focus off the Father. That's why. We take our focus off Him. We need to completely focus on him. And that's what we're going to look at next. How we keep God's perspective. Go to Psalm 27. And it's interesting in here, I'm going to bring up four parts to this psalm. I don't know if Nick shared this, one of the teachings he taught one of the Sundays, I don't know when it was. But anyways, and I think he shared part of this. And I thought how great it really is. And Psalm 27 is a great psalm. And it deals with fear. It deals with things that are going to come up each and every day of your life. Because the devil's not going to stop. Just because you change today, tomorrow's going to be another attack. The next hour. The next minute. I had to laugh on the way up here this morning. I got a check engine light on in my car. In my work car. And it's been on for quite some time. So you're saying to yourself, well, dude, shame on you. You should have had it checked out. I did get it checked out. And I did find out what it was. And what it is it needs a computer. And, or that's what the guy, the mechanic told me. He said, it needs a computer. So I said, okay. So as I'm driving along up here, the check engine light comes on. Because it goes on, it goes off. Sometimes it's on, sometimes it's off. But I looked down and I saw the check engine light. And I thought, that needs a computer. I wonder if that controls the airbags. I wonder if I'm going to be going 60 miles an hour up the Schuylkill Expressway and bang, the airbag's going to go off and I'm going to ram into a wall. Where do you think that thought came from? Clues are being handed out. It was not from God. That's right. It was not. It wasn't from God. That was from the devil. He put that thought in my head. And I thought, dude, anything to destroy my peace. And that's what the devil wants. He wants to destroy your peace. Anything that makes you non-peaceful, I think about that because it's definitely not from God. You need to go to the Word and check that out. God is peace, and that's what He wants for your life, among the millions of other things. So, number one of Psalm 27, seek the Lord in time of doubt, worry, confusion, and fear by affirming your faith in Him alone. So that's the first thing you want to do is confirm your faith in Him alone. And that's verses 1 and through 3. And we'll read them. Psalm 27, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, I will be confident. And that's how it is when you're looking at the Lord. You can be confident. You can be doubt, worry, confusion, and fear free. You can be blessed at any time. Number two, seek the Lord in time of doubt, worry, and fear by focusing on the Lord Himself. That's verses 4 through 6, and we'll read them. So you want to focus on God Himself. One thing I have desired of the Lord, verse 4, that I will seek after, that I will dwell in thine house of the Lord all the days of thy life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in a time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now, verse 6, shall mine head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore I will offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. And when I think about that rock, you know what I think of? The big bad wolf. And that's what the adversary wants, to be the big bad wolf. Remember what he did to the three little pigs? Pig straw. I don't remember everything they did. But when you build your house out of bricks or rocks, and when you're on a rock, a strong foundation, such as we are on the rock of all ages, Jesus Christ, we don't have to fear anything. There's no tide water of doubt, worry, fear, or confusion that can possibly wash us away. We're not built on sand. We're built on the rock, Jesus Christ. Think about that. and you'll be able to sing joy and praises unto God. Number three, when doubt, worry, or fear returns, seek the Lord by redirecting your focus to the Lord in heartfelt prayer. Prayer is like so important. I go to prayer like, maybe like three or four times a year, and I work prayer. And I think of how much Jesus Christ prayed. And prayer doesn't have to be just hitting your knees and folding your hands and saying a bunch of prayers to God. Praying is just talking to God, because he's your bud. Telling him how much you love him, how much you care. Prayer is going to the Word and looking up in that Word. Maybe a psalm. Maybe talk a psalm to God. I do that now and then. I'll go to psalm and I'll read it. Dolores shared the other night. Maybe she'll share that when she teaches. I think it was Psalm 119. And she had me chop up a bunch of verses and we handed them out. And she said, live this for a week. You know, and when we get back together, we'll see how it goes. I hope she shares that when she teaches. I don't know. But anyway, that was a really good teaching. And it's because you're focusing on God and praying to God. Prayer is so important. How else do people know what you need? How else do people know how much you care? When you're talking to the Father, let him know that you care. Did I say number three? I did? Okay, number four.
What verses were three?
7-12. No, I just read verse 6. Yeah. So, number three, when doubt, worry, and fear return, seek the Lord by redirecting. I was reading this in heartfelt prayer. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away with anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. And I think how interesting that is, that the psalmist is writing this, but we already should know that God said he will never leave us nor forsake us. He's always there with us. How do we know that? Because we have God in Christ living inside of us. When my father and my mother forsake me, then, O Lord, will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of my enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. So we can take heart and take refuge in time of need when we go to the Father in prayer and pour out everything that's in our heart and let him know how much he loves us, how much we love him, and how much we're cared for. And number four, continue seeking the Lord. Wait on him and continually reaffirm your faith in him and what his word says. And that's verses 13 and 14. Verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So you go to God and you wait on him. Don't force your hand. Don't make something out of nothing. Don't be fooled by fake news. Be an actionist, not a reactionary. When you act on something, that's positive. When you react, it's a knee-jerk reaction. And that's what you have. You start flipping about with every wind of doctrine, every wind of news, be it fake or otherwise. You know what you get? You get confusion. So you got to go to the Word. You got to know what the Word says. You can't let the devil fool you. 1 Peter chapter 5. We'll read that because I said it already. Please. You know, this is where it says about the devil is a roaring lion. And you, as you already should well know, as long as the lion's roaring, it can't bite you. And that's all he has. And I thought about that in light of today, about dogs. One of my favorite shows is that Pitbulls and Parolees. I really like that show because I really feel for the dogs. I mean, some of them dogs get a bad rap, man. I'm not saying there aren't bad dogs in the world, but I am saying some of them dogs just like, you know, they're pretty good eggs. And they get a bad rap. But you know what? You never see a dog barking and biting you at the same time. It just doesn't happen. So as long as the devil is growling out fake news, you have nothing to worry about, nothing to fear. Why? Because he can't bite. He's toothless. Jesus Christ made him that way. He might be able to gum you a little bit, but he ain't going to bite you all that hard, trust me. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he mayeth devour. And that's what he wants. He wants to steal, kill, and destroy your peace, your health, your well-being, your mental state. But all he's doing is barking loud. And I wanted to end up with a quote by John F. Kennedy. He didn't say, seek God, live doubt, worry, confusion, and fear free. But what he did say was, we have nothing to fear but fear itself. And that's how we should live. Okay? So I'll pray. Almighty God, thank you for the greatness of this day, for your love, your mercy, your peace, and your grace. Thank you that you bless us and protect us all the days of our lives, and that we don't have to worry about fake news or even any good news that the TV set brings or the radio brings or the newspapers bring. We can live in the greatness of the news, the good news of your word. Thank you that we can go to that word each and every day of our lives. Do that word and be shining examples to others for all the days of our lives until the return of our brother Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, that you send him soon. We sure love you, and we're sure thankful for all that you do for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Thank you.